Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the "no animals were harmed" message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
I know, you're thinking, what's so fucking happy about happy hour this week?
I know.
We had radioactive Fukushima hell pigs eating our Spectrum cable lines. Oh,
well,
I go.
And who did they belong to?
We think Moby. We suspect Moby.
Because he's harboring pigs.
Animal lover. Yeah. I think he saved them and they're eating our cable lines. However, my point is we needed a little pick-me-up and we got it from Glenn Kirshner because justice did done come. Oh, yeah right
and,
there.
And if you have the video podcast, he looks good.
Mm-hmm. He is wearing his aviators.
Good. Yeah.
And he assures us this justice is coming.
Yeah.
It's just breathing heavily right now.
Oh.
Okay. Because I know a lot of us are getting frustrated. Yeah, a lot of nipple circling legally. And we really want to see some fucking indictments.
We want you to stick it in, basically.
Yeah, Buenos Dias.
Stick it in!
Buenos Dias. Oh, well that.
Buenos Dias?
Yes. We also have Dr. Redlin, or Dr. Doom.
Yeah.
Who is, just because we are, you are ruthless. You are in the hurry up and die unvaccinated people. And I am in the sexy liberal. No.
I'm tired of mollycoddling these people.
That's not even a word that a man your age uses.
My stars and garters, they do.
Cheese and crackers.
And we lost Donald Rumsfeld, too.
All right. Oh, dear. That was the moment of silence. Okay. Did war criminals get longer than that? I don't know.
I don't know.
But my point is, it's a problem. The Delta variant in unvaccinated states is a fucking problem. So we have Dr. Doom, and then we need a little justice. Foreplay and completion with Glenn Kirshner. Enjoy. Good morning, Dr. Doom. How are you?
Hi there, Seth.
You saw I tried to out-doom you during a break. You said, how was your vacation? I said, well, my dog died and my 98-year-old mom with Alzheimer's doesn't remember I was there for a week. I'm good. How are you?
Hey, it could have been worse. But anyway, I'm
could be raining.
Back, and I'm glad you got to see your mom. Everything's good here, Maya. Thank you.
All right, good. Well, except that we're saying it is just, it really is becoming, talk about, a divide and red state, blue state, right? I don't know what more we can keep saying about the Delta variant and how serious it is. And, Sean, just his home is in, home state is Missouri. And they're in a state of emergency in Missouri. He just went home to visit family. And it's, and we were saying in some counties, you've got vaccination rates in the teens or 20%.
It's really dangerous. And, you kind of suspected it, but it was still a little shocking to see that all of the deaths, 100% of the COVID deaths have been occurring in the red states where vaccination rates are low. And it's just amazing to me how little regard people have for their own health, not to mention the health and safety of their families and their communities. It's incredibly antisocial.
Well, and you as a
pediatrician,
doc, I mean, we were saying this is the right wing has always been the what about the children party, and they can't be exposed to gay people and to, you know, swear words. They're the people that aren't getting vaccinated when children can't get vaccinated yet. So you're putting your own children at risk. You know, other, as you say, other immune compromised people with organ transplants or whatever. Right. So it's not just you you're affecting.
No, and this is a message that really, I think, has to be stronger. But on the other hand, people who are believing in conspiracy theories and other craziness that they're finding on social media and on the internet don't necessarily have a lot of social values. You know, like I'm not sure that the argument that you may make others sick is not sinking in. I don't know why. It's just that people's feelings on that side of the fence are so extreme and so concretized that we just don't seem to be making progress with those particular people. Yeah. You know what we need to do? We need to talk about the fact that it was your guy, it was Trump, who created the the Operation Warp Speed.
Right.
Why? He was trying to get people vaccinated. Yeah. And then Biden really pushed it, and we were doing great in some places. But it's really a collusion between Trump and Biden that has been so effective in getting the vaccines.
Collusion. Lots of collusion. Yes, we should say that. We should push collusion. Lots of collusion.
Yeah.
Well, Doc, I don't know if you've heard, but Chris Lavoie is of the AbFav about the people in the red states that are unvaccinated.
Oh, for God's sake, just die.
That may be a little harsh.
Okay, Dr. Redlener has taken a first no harm. As sexy liberals, we can't just, right? I don't want people to get sick and die, but they're saying, you know, like even medical staff in places, Doc, are saying they're so frustrated because it's preventable this time. And so it is, but as you say, they're endangering all of us because our vaccines aren't as effective. There's different studies, correct? But our vaccine is not as effective against and the next one, it might not be effective at all against the next variant, correct?
Well, it seems to be, this is where we are now. If you are fully vaccinated, you may or may not need a booster shot. But if you're fully vaccinated, and especially if you get a booster shot, or if you've had the COVID-19 in the past, the actual disease, you will be most likely protected against the Delta and every other variant. And at least if you got the Delta variant, for example, you will not have the same chance of getting very sick or dying. In fact, it's very protective, keeping you out of the hospital, even if you get infected. So it makes every sense in the world, Steph, to get vaccinated. It is frustrating. I mean, there was a hospital in Missouri that ran out of ventilators for a while.
And they're asking for respiratory therapists from other states that were back to the beginning of COVID in some ways.
It felt like that. But, you know, it gave you the chills. Like, are you kidding? You're not getting vaccinated. Why? Yeah. And the arguments make less and less sense with this differentiation between fatality rates among those who are vaccinated and those who are not. And by the way, the other issue is global. We have Africa, which has less than 2% in most countries of its populations that are vaccinated. And those vaccines are being hoarded by the superpowers.
Yeah.
And we have a mess. And in Africa and other places, they are festering virus that can mutate to some very dangerous forms that can get back to the U.S.
And as you always say, until we eradicate it everywhere, it's not eradicated anywhere. And, you know, Sean was just talking about his girlfriend Jess is in a book club with people from around the world. They're disgusted with us. They can't get a vaccine. They're literally dying to get a vaccine. And they see Americans going, I don't want it. My freedom. All right.
Crazy freedom.
What's that? I'm sorry.
No, it's just a crazy way to think that your freedom is jeopardized if somebody says you need to get vaccinated. Yeah. It's nuts.
Well, I mean, and how offensive to Jewish people is it that Marjorie Taylor Greene and others keep calling people brown shirts and Nazis that are trying to keep you alive, which is the exact opposite of what Nazis were trying to do? I mean, it's okay. We are just, we're, okay. You wrote a great piece in The Hill because you are also a disaster. You founded the Disaster Recovery Institute there at Columbia. So you're a disaster recovery expert. So this Surfside building collapse, and it is interesting because you have a lot of thoughts on infrastructure, which we're doing this week and we're talking about. You said South Florida collapse shows infrastructure is a persistent threat to public health. The deadly building collapse in South Florida is a searing reminder that fragile infrastructure can have tragic public health consequences. And you say, although exceptions can and have occurred, 72 hours is considered the essential rescue window for people trapped in the rubble following the collapse of a building, unless I guess there's an air pocket or something. After that, you say an ongoing source of oxygen and water. Without that, especially in the presence of severe injury, survival becomes increasingly unlikely. So we've passed that window, obviously. And as you said, the hope is...
by a long time.
Yeah, I mean, so, but you were, obviously this has already been discussed, but potentially serious design flaws recognized 3 years ago in this ill-fated condo should be assumed to be an imminent threat to the structural integrity of the two other buildings in the same complex. As an immediate precaution, people should be evacuated from the neighboring buildings until inspections can be conducted.
Yeah.
Are they doing that? Have you heard anything about that?
Well, I've heard it's still voluntary whether people will stay in the building or not. The inspections are going to take a while. They've not been completed. It's going to be very difficult to do those inspections, but it's absolutely essential. This is a strange and very difficult time because the 72-hour window was passed, 12 days ago. And so, this is really, in effect, no longer search and rescue. This is more of a recovery of the victims phase. And the whole thing is just absolutely sad, but a reminder, as I was writing about, that infrastructure is critical. And the fact that Biden's been pushing this is one of the great things about Joe Biden. He really gets what the country needs to do, and he's 100% right. But then you ask yourself, it's like with the vaccine stuff, why is there a negotiation about whether we're going to make our society safer? What the hell are we talking about? It's absurd.
It's a win-win for everybody. It's jobs. And you bring in a lot of things that are in this bill, Doc. You say additional damage was caused by recurrent flooding subsequent to sea level rise associated with climate change. And what about the resilience of area of buildings in areas where there's earthquakes, wildfires, or tornadoes are a recurrent risk? Hello. Earthquakes and wildfires out here. You said, should stabilizing and upgrading safety of buildings, especially multifamily residential structures, be included? I believe so. In earthquake-prone regions, including in California, new constructions of hospitals and schools must meet standards to offer protection from earthquake. You say, the first investment package of the bill will make the country far more secure and less fragile while creating countless good-paying jobs, providing universal access to broadband, improving resilience to climate change. Again, Doc, where's the loss in there? Where's there not a win for everybody? But this is what we're fighting, a party that is just resistant to, I don't know, not just facts, but giving anything that's perceived as a win to Joe Biden or Democrats, right?
It's so sick. And no matter how much harm it causes to block him at every step, people are so hardened politically. I mean, Eisenhower built the interstate highway system in the early 50s. There was zero resistance. Everybody knew we needed it.
Everybody took the polio vaccine. There was no Fox News.
Yeah.
Right?
The smallpox vaccines, polio vaccine.
Yeah.
There was not this kind of political impact on something that's for the public good. It's, I know I'm frustrated and I'm sounding it, but the fact is, it's lost to me as to why people will allow politics and craziness to interfere with what's in their best interest. It's like maddening.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You close by saying, while fixing America's infrastructure is necessary to function optimally and compete in the 21st century, these upgrades and repairs made me the most important investments in safeguarding the public's health that we have ever made. Let's hope this agenda can be a common ground pursuit for Republican and Democratic leaders alike. I have to say, Doc, you're right. Eisenhower was a colleague of my dad's, and the Republican Party just wasn't like this. They really did reach across the aisle to some degree. And this is a win-win for every. I mean, you have Mitch McConnell on tape yesterday talking about all the money that's going to come to Kentucky and the help from the Relief Act and saying, no one in my party voted for it. I mean, politically, you didn't used to say things like that. Like, I wasn't for that, you're not going to get any more if you reelect me, right? I mean, I don't know what to say about infrastructure, right? I mean, it's just, how is this a loss for anybody?
Right. How is it a loss? And what is really the dynamic? And I think this is where Trump's horrendous legacy is causing ongoing damage to our way of life and our way of doing things and getting things done. And if you sit opposite an anti-vaxxer or somebody who agrees with the fact that we should not, let's say, fix our infrastructure, what are you saying to them? You're saying, well, if we don't do this, you are at risk. You, your community, the building you live in, the levees that will not protect you from flooding and so on. These things need to be fixed. Why don't you agree? What does it mean that you don't agree?
Doc, a little bit of breaking news. All fans have been banned from the Olympics as Tokyo announces COVID state of emergency.
Yep.
This goes to what we were saying. They're about 15% vaccinated there. They can't get the vaccine while we, you know, what percentage of us is just refusing it? And so we can't have nice things again worldwide until we all get to, you know, come together somehow and eradicate this, right?
Yeah. Of course, I think in some ways, Steph, we may be kidding ourselves while we're going to this rapid coming back strategy that we're seeing in so many places. And I think we could get in trouble.
Right. It's not. That's what I said yesterday. It's not over for you if you're not vaccinated. COVID's not over, right?
It's totally not over. And, you could kid yourself and think that you could just go out and party and gather in large groups, but you will be exposed and you will be absolutely vulnerable to getting a very serious version of COVID. So,
yep, I know. All right, one last doctor question. When I roll my eyes, was my mom right that my eyes will stick like that? Because there was someone at the gate in Charlotte with a mask that said, I'm being forced to wear this. And I did roll my eyes so hard that they did stick.
You probably saw your brain.
For how long, though?
I saw my brain. Pardon?
If you had a severe case of eye rolling, it could last a week.
Okay.
So I would be careful.
Well, it's lasted more than 4 hours, so I've consulted my doctor,
Yeah.
They know I'm kidding, your audience.
Of course, yes.
I understand.
Yes.
All right. Love
Chris,
you.
Make sure they know.
I will. I will, Doc. I'll tweet it out.
Love you, Dr. Doom. See you next week.
Thanks. Red Letter causes an epidemic of fear about eye rolling.
Fox News reports. Fox News report. Crazy liberal doctor ignites worldwide panic about eye rolling. Love you, Dr. Red Letter.
Thanks, Doc.
There he goes. Well, there is a lot going on in the world that can make it difficult to relax and decompress, right? Like that orange sack of treasonous triglycerides that won't shut the fuck up ever.
I don't like him.
Okay. You've experienced the Sunday scaries, that feeling of dread in the pit of your stomach that comes on Sunday afternoons. Now there's a totally different Sunday scary. Vitamin boosted CBD gummies. You don't even have to wait until Sunday night rolls around. Self-care, so important. And Sunday Scaries is here to help. Sunday Scaries believes that everyone deserves a hand on a difficult day. If you're looking for a way to decompress, Sunday Scaries got you covered with their CBD products. Visit SundayScaries.com. Use that promo code SEXYLIBERAL, all one word, at checkout to get 25% off your order. That is 25% off at SundayScaries.com. Boo! Promo code Sexy Liberal. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. These products are not for use or sale to persons under the age of 18. SundayScaries.com. Type in Sexy Liberal. Oh, except you can't see those blue eyes now because he's wearing his aviators outside and looks even more handsome than ever. Good morning, Glenn.
Good morning, Steph. How are we doing?
Good. So, all right, let's start with that, since the vice president obviously just talked about it yesterday. We've talked about this before. If there's not voting rights, there's nothing. There's no other issues because we have no democracy. I know a lot of us are getting frustrated about justice on a lot of fronts. So talk to us about I say we fight it on every level. So the $25 million investment to expand voting rights by the DNC is a start. But what about legally? What in terms of what Merrick Garland is doing? Talk to us about that.
Yeah. So first of all, Steph, the good news is they can't stop us from getting to the polls. They can try. They can say no water. They can say fewer drop boxes. They cannot stop us from getting to the polls. But legally, what can be done? Well, this is where the Department of Justice has to either put on the gloves or take off the gloves. They have to get serious, you know, because these laws will not attack themselves. The Department of Justice has to attack the laws that are being passed in state after state to tamp down voting of, let's call it what it is, communities of color. And it looks like the Supreme Court is not going to be much help, right? Because of their recent opinion saying, well, as long as the law doesn't have a discriminatory intent, you know, even if it does have a discriminatory effect, it's okay. Well, guess what? There's not a single state legislature that's passing a voter suppression law saying, in our zeal to suppress the black vote, we are passing the following law. It's all about the impact that the law has. So the Department of Justice needs to enter the fray, not only in Georgia, but in every single state, because the Department of Justice is our law firm and it needs to fight for us.
Well, Chris, did you just say they're starting a third audit recount, yes, or whatever it is, recount in Arizona?
Yep.
I mean, in Pennsylvania, it looks like they're pushing back on this attempt to do the same thing they're doing in Arizona. I mean, this stuff just has to be shut down, doesn't it? I don't even understand how it's legal in the first place to seize the physical ballots and take them to a cabin in Montana and violate democracy.
It sure feels illegal. It feels like an abuse of our rights as voters, right? To have some privacy, some sanctity, some protection of our vote and our private information. The problem becomes when you have judges in these states who are willing to issue a court order saying, yeah, the cyber ninja, you know, accounting firm can do whatever they want with the ballots. It gives them this sort of veneer of legal cover. This is why you can't rely on the states to police themselves. The Department of Justice has to enter the fray. Unfortunately, as important as holding Trump accountable for his countless crimes against the American people, as important as that is, what's even more important at this moment is for the Department of Justice to attack what's being done by the states to interfere with a free and fair election.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because obviously at this hour, it doesn't look great in terms of the filibuster and trying to do it legislatively, does it?
Yeah, I don't understand the Manchins and the Sinemas. I mean, we really are allowing the tyranny of the minority,
yeah,
the Republicans, the party voted out of power. We're allowing the tyranny of the minority to basically take away our right to vote. That doesn't make any sense to me. And that's got to change.
Yeah. So let's talk about, you probably saw John Dean tweeted about Trump's ridiculous Facebook, Twitter, whatever lawsuit, which is, of course, not a First Amendment suit because the government. Didn't Alan Dershowitz say this is the biggest First Amendment case in history?
He did.
Except that it is not, because it has to be the government. It's private company, is not the government. So
it's
not
service.
A First Amendment. It's the largest case in that it's not a First Amendment case at all, right? Right, Glenn?
Yeah. But and I'll take Dershowitz's word for it as much as I'll take Rudy Giuliani, you know, disgraced fallen lawyer's word for it. This is not, listen, the First Amendment doesn't say Twitter shall pass no law abridging the freedom of speech.
Yes.
Right? It's about Congress shall pass no law. And that includes the executive branch. The president can't issue an executive order taking away our free speech rights. Twitter, Google, Facebook ain't the government.
Right.
This is not a but you know, this is not a legitimate lawsuit, Steph.
Right.
This is a grift. This is a money raising endeavor by Donald Trump. That is everything. The motive behind everything he does is to line his own pockets. This suit will not see the light of day. The only question is, how will it be dismissed?
But here's what I wanted to ask you, as you may have heard, John Dean tweeted, this should be a nationally televised deposition. Please schedule it next week. Don't move to dismiss, which would be the normal move. Make him deal with the trap he set and created for himself. He will lose on the merits. So where was he? On O'Reilly yesterday? Mm-hmm. Trump? He said he will give a deposition for his lawsuit about the social media company, even though that means he'll have to testify about the storming of the U.S. Capitol. O'Reilly asked Trump how he'll respond when they argue in court that he was banned for inciting the riot. He said, I didn't. He went on to deny his involvement in the arrest, complained about the media, bragged about the size of the rally that turned into a riotous mob, once again pushed his false claim about a fraudulent election. So as we know, Trump has a long history of threatening lawsuits that he doesn't follow through on. O'Reilly said they're going to want to take a deposition from you, right? And he said, you're going to sit for a deposition. So Trump said, sure. I mean, I look forward to it, actually. I love talking about the election fraud. What do you make of this?
Yeah,
so is he going to sit for a deposition where he's under oath about January 6th?
No, and I don't want to burst everybody's bubble, because we would love to see a nationally televised deposition of Donald Trump, because after the first question,
Yeah.
Please state your name. He could tell the truth about nothing else. And I'm not even sure he'd get his middle name right. But frankly, he will not sit for a deposition. And here's why. One of two reasons. Either Google, Facebook, and Twitter will move to dismiss the case on summary judgment because it is not a supportable lawsuit. But if they don't, for tactical reasons, like John Dean was suggesting, if they don't and they try to push it to discovery, push it to a deposition, Trump's lawyers will then move to dismiss their own suit. Why? Because they've grifted all the money from his red hat wearing gullible base that they can. And then they'll find some reason to say, you know what? We have rethought our litigative position. We are dismissing the lawsuit. Why? Because he ain't going to sit for a deposition.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You tweeted why the Trump Organization criminal charges may open the indictment floodgates. You discussed on your fantastic YouTube discussions a discussion of president, the precedent and absence of precedent, and why the DOJ must take a maiden legal voyage and indict Trump for his crimes. And I love the way you said it. You said, as a 30-year prosecutor, I can tell you we are reluctant to bring cases that have no precedent, but sometimes we must, like indicting for the first time a criminal former president. You create precedent by taking a maiden legal voyage because hashtag justice matters, right. I'm guessing. So talk to us about that.
Sure. So anybody who says because there's no precedent for charging a former president, you can't do it is a circular argument. It's a specious argument, because then you would never be able to do it. Even if the president brought all of his political opponents into the Oval Office and shot them all, you couldn't prosecute a sitting president because the argument goes, you've never done it before. Well, that's absurd, because there can be no precedent if you don't do something for the first time. As a prosecutor, I took maiden legal voyages at the D.C. U.S. Attorney's Office in the courts of Washington, D.C., and sometimes we made precedent and sometimes I failed. I lost. But you know what? It was a righteous thing to do, trying to vindicate the rights of the victim, protect the community, and you do it win, lose, or draw. We have to do this for the first time and attempt to set precedent.
Well, okay, let's talk about, first of all, what's happening in Georgia? Why is that case not, why have we not heard anything about that? I mean, so many of these cases to us lay people, Glenn, look so slam dunk. It is on tape,
yeah.
The election interference, great, right?
Great question. And the piece I wrote this week for MSNBC Daily, I tried to set out my view of this as a former career prosecutor. And the reason I say the floodgates are not open yet for indicting Donald Trump, but I think there's a significant crack in the dam and the water is beginning to pour through, because the Trump Organization has been criminally indicted. What is the Trump Organization? It's Donald Trump. We all know it. It's always been Donald Trump. So that is not yet a personal indictment of the president, but it's getting pretty darn close. No prosecutor, not in Georgia, not in New York, not at the Department of Justice, wants to be the first. Yeah. I can tell you, not that there's overly.
That's what
timid,
I want. That's what they, I wondered, right? It's yeah.
Yeah,
you know.
They don't want to be the first, because then they will get all the intense scrutiny. But once somebody does it, like Georgia, because the crime is on recorded audio tape, once somebody does it, everybody's going to want to be in the Trump prosecution game, and then you're going to see the indictments begin to flow.
Is it, Glenn, it almost feels to me like he did the exact same thing in Arizona. I just don't know if we have the, I think because the guy didn't return the phone call, we don't have the actual phone call evidence, but couldn't you also build a case in Arizona for election interference from what we're told?
Absolutely. But you know what? We've already got everything we need to prove that he violated Georgia state election laws by telling election officials down there, somebody better find me 11,780 votes that fell off the back of a truck somewhere so I can wrongfully be declared the winner. Yeah. You know, that's mob talk.
Yeah.
Right? That's easy to prove to a jury. Press play. We rest our case. Ladies and gentlemen, go deliberate and convict this mope.
So you said your overview of the Trump Organization Weisselberg indictment, these crimes are deadly serious. The evidence is strong and all indicators suggest there are more charges to come, which is as it should be. So I know, I think it was our friend Cynthia Oxney said she feels like Ivanka could be next because we've heard obviously a lot about that same kind of setup where she's getting paid as a consultant while she's a full-time employee. I mean, this just seems like tax evasion 101, the two sets of books, the all of it. So what, where do you think this goes? Because I think you said to us last time, Glenn, that, you know, they've already got the documents that they like Weisselberg's cooperation, but they don't need it. Where do you think things stand now?
Yeah, when you read that 24-page indictment that was handed down against the Trump Organization and Weisselberg, even Weisselberg's tax preparer flipped on him. Weisselberg is dead and stinking in a court of law. He will be convicted if he chooses not to flip. I still don't think they need him. And two most ominous things, Steph, in that 24-page indictment. One is there's an unindicted co-conspirator. We don't know who it is, but it's been reported that it is likely the controller of the organization, Jeffrey McConney. If he has flipped and he went into the grand jury because that was confirmed, if he has flipped and it looks like he has, they don't need Weisselberg. They've got the documents. They've got the controller of the organization. But even more ominous, there are two other people who are unnamed, but the indictment says two other people got the same kind of criminal perks that Alan Weisselberg got. We have to ask ourselves, who of those two people, who is high up enough in the Trump organization? Who is so firmly entrenched in Donald Trump's circle that they might have enjoyed the same criminal benefits and perks that Alan Weisselberg got and is now being prosecuted for? You know what? I'll bet a buck, and that's my betting limit, that their last name is Trump.
Wow. Okay. And real quick, you also said following New York's lead, D.C. appellate court suspends Giuliani's D.C. law license. What's next for Rudy? Remember those search warrants for the criminal evidence in his electronic devices? Rudy's about to go through some things. So this is New York and D.C. He's lost his license. So what? Yeah. What is going on? They're still combing through the electronic devices. What's where is that at?
Yes. Accountability is finally coming for the crooked like Rudy Giuliani. So in 30 words or less, once the FBI seized all of his electronic devices, why? Because a judge concluded there was evidence of crime in his electronic devices. They were turned over to what's called a special master. It's just an independent person who's reviewing everything in his electronic devices to see if there's any protected or attorney-client privileged information that the prosecutor shouldn't have. And then everything gets handed over to the prosecutors, and it will all be used against Rudy Giuliani. Criminal indictments for Rudy Giuliani are likely to come soon.
Yay, justice is coming. We always get to the end of the ride.
Yes, that would
it's
make a
fun.
Great hashtag.
Wow.
That would it's... make a great hashtag.
Yeah.
Fun. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Oh, there's no climax like a Glenn Kirshner climax.
Oh, boy.
Legally.
I'm not touching that one.
Legally.
I am not touching that
legally.
One.
He's
legally.
In public.
Legally.
Right
legally,
now.
Justice
Stop
has
that.
Come. Justice has come. I love you, Glenn Kirshner. Thanks so much for doing
love
this.
Love you, Steph.
All right, bye.
See you guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Where
bye.
Did your mind go?